on the podcast. The Gold Coast's 92.5 Triple M Gold.
With another Flan, Ally and Spider podcast.
Well, hello there.
Hello.
Hello.
Here we go. Cracking podcast today. We're going to touch on Flan. We love Fridays because you do Palm of the Week.
Yeah, it's an incredible week for news. I really wrestled with this one. It took ages, but you know, trying to get the royal family and Latrell Mitchell, the F-bomber, and all of that poor lady that was born with two, you know, thingies.
Oh, please. Yeah.
Who has?
Yeah, who has? Yeah.
It's a tough week to rhyme up. Flan.
Oh, didn't
it? Oh, it was on, come up on Flan's Google search screensaver.
We're having dinner tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And no joke, actually, just Google it and read the theory because she's actually got two boyfriends.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I don't want to go into it.
Boyfriend.
You're joking. Yeah.
No. And they both have reserved car spaces.
One's got left, one's got right. No,
yes. No, true. Way.
It's true, Ali. You've got to check this out.
Wait for the birthday. No. also, Joel Parkinson, he lost his wedding ring, Parko, at Snapper. And we open it up to the Triple M family. When have you lost your wedding ring? And Ali, you're in Newcastle. And well.
Don't, well, honestly, if there's any sniff of anything ever, trying to get some information on me dating or having some action.
Al would have honestly, the sexy music on already by now. He would have gone with Spider.
Yeah. Flan, don't you start. You're
I'm not
starting. Innocent in this either.
I'm pointing out that Al would have slid down this path straight away.
No action.
We'll find out.
Other than I did have a bath on my own. Oh. There you go. That's as exciting as it got.
And I do a spray on fish and chips, one of the great traditions that we've lost here in Australia, and I want to be able to bring it back.
All right, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Honest answer. If I could get Victor from Victory Ford to be on his jet ski and you could have an inflatable vest, a helmet and a surfboard and be towed out into big surf and have a crack, would you have a go?
You know what?
I would rather eat 10 kilos of dog poo.
Oh, really? So,
yep, no chance.
Okay, see if Victor can do it because we'll line up the 10 kilo.
Would you have a crack at it?
Oh, look, I wouldn't have a crack on a surfboard because I can't surf, but I would body surfing.
Imagine how hilarious it would be.
I love body surfing, just the body like a surfboard and just.
Well, the reason I ask is because my son is an excellent swimmer and really strong swimmer. And he came home from the beach yesterday and I'll admit it, I was worried about him when he was going off the beach. I went, oh, no. Yeah. And he said to me when he got home, oh, mate, that was too big. I got out there and I had to paddle in. I just was terrified. So, I just think it would be really interesting. I keep having this dream. I surfed a lot when I was in my 20s, but I don't do it anymore. I'm too old. But I keep having this dream that I get like taken out with all the safety and all the help and I crack onto the biggest wave of my life and then I wake up going, it's really embarrassing.
Yeah, well, remember, I think one of the best things you can do, and you know, we got Burley Headland here where you can go and watch some of the best
incredible.
In the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Slater was only out here a couple of weeks ago because he didn't want to go to Portugal because we had better surf.
Yeah, he flies here. He keeps an eye on the weather maps and he flies here the moment Kira's working.
And
he loves Kira.
I remember up at Uluwatu, we went there on a footy trip. We went to Bali and we went to Uluwatu for the day and we're sitting on the cliff faces there just drinking stubbies all day. And the guys out there surfing, it was like Point Break when they got up and they all walked up. They're all cut tats. It was just unbelievable watching people who can do it well. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Absolutely.
Ali, would you back yourself in?
What, to surf?
Yeah.
No, I honestly wouldn't. Look, and I think I have told you, but my one major surfing story was at the Spit here on the Goldie.
Right.
And it was a bonding session for Touch. I'd just made it back into this team and it was a whole bunch of younger girls in it. And I thought, we're doing a surfing lesson. Rode these pathetic, piddly little waves in and I was thinking, yes, 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 I'm nailing it. And then jumped off the surfboard and broke my leg. spiral fracture of the fibula. It's a common sand and snow injury because people jump and you just go...
Boing.
So embarrassing. Yeah, I just think at the moment, certainly at this lack of fitness level that I'm currently in, I'd be no chance. My core strength is pathetic at the moment. It would just be all you would hear with me out surfing is you two absolutely pissing yourselves laughing on the
beach. Why don't we then get Victor to tow the three of us in if we've all got our own Zorb ball.
Oh,
and we're
my
both
God.
In a Zorb ball.
I would do that, but only if I had a Stanley knife in my pocket. These are these, there are those inflatable balls you climb inside.
Yeah.
Like, for a start, if
That'd
everyone goes home, you just die of asphyxiation. If it gets a little hole in it, it wraps you up like in cling wrap and you go to the bottom of whatever water you're on. I can't think of a worse thing to go do.
Really?
Yeah, we better do it.
You choke on your vomit.
Oh, well, okay.
All I'd have is a whole bunch of spew, poo and wee floating around in there.
Ali's in the brown Zorb ball.
We normally call that a good Saturday night.
There you go.
Enjoy the podcast.
Yeah, we love this time of the day because Flanjo Patterson joins us each and every week.
Thank
Here
you,
we go. Over to you, Flanjo.
There we go. There's that beautiful swelling music. I dedicate this to my dad. There was movement round the nation for word had passed around. The Premier downgraded our Brisbane Olympic size. We'll still host the Games for now. We might get an inflatable stadium if one comes up on Aldi special buys.
Hey!
The council elections were Saturday last. Was Tom Tate's grip on power still as firm? There he stood, the three-time champ, a host of would-be-if-they-could-bes. Tom got half the primary vote and began his fourth mayoral term.
Tonight, I want to give it all to you.
Yuck. You don't get anything for free here, Tom, but congratulations. Latrell let rip with a carpet F-bombing. He's authentic. He's himself, but it's the kids, Latrell, that you're wronging.
You need Flan, Alley and Spider's NRL Potty Mouthwash. One application of NRL Potty Mouthwash and all the yucky words just melt away. One spray and Latrell Mitchell goes from this...
It's all right, mate. Look, honestly, in the first bit, just a hard game.
To this...
It's all right, mate. Look, honestly, in the first bit, just a hard game. Showed what we were about.
How hard is it?
Absolutely.
Just leave some words out, Latrell. Do less. Taking sides between Kevin Rudd and President Trump would be a weird pick. It's a bit like choosing between two sewing needles. Either way, it's just a different size prick.
Oh.
We build great military people movers in this country. Anthony Albanese crowed. Other armies want to buy them from us. So far in sales, $1 billion our way is owed. Look, I'd like to try and explain to my grandfather how we are now selling military hardware to Germany. Imagine, Albo. Come on down to our steel plate sales. A lot must go. Order right now and you'll get free air and 12 months rego. Hang on, it's for war. Do you really need rego? Only $1 billion. Fire away. No more to pay. All right. Who'd be a member of the English royal family? The scandals, the rumours are regrettable. But when Twitter goes off with hearsay rumours, it's kind of regrettably unforgettable.
I'd like to stress that the royal family has had no new extramarital affair or love child beyond our normal level.
Okay, such a weird week where news is concerned. Yeah. Some stories can barely be spoke. How about the woman born with two hoo-has or the poor fellow who broke his thingy and it swelled up to the size of a can of Coke? What an amazing tale and a very popular blog, but it's truly a disturbing sight. Now, I wouldn't give you two bob for him in bed, but somehow... containers for change just might.
Oh,
and I'm Spando!
On Listener, this is the Flan, Ellie and Spider podcast.
I'm asking you today, Triple M Gold family, where/how did you lose your wedding ring?
Ooh.
Our very own absolute legend of surfing, Joel Parkinson, yesterday lost his wedding ring.
Ooh.
He was surfing at Snapper Rocks. And, he actually, well, as we know, the surf's been a bit crazy at the moment with the winds and it's all going a bit haywire. But, yes, I saw he posted on his story, there was Vision, a video of him. You can check it out on his Instagram of him sort of, being swept up on the rocks. And all he's written is, never underestimate the power of the ocean, even at your local. All it took was my wedding ring. And then he said, sorry, babe. This is obviously to his wife. Sorry, babe. The ocean let me have this one. Hopefully you will be as kind.
Oh, there's nothing worse. Have you ever lost one, Flan?
Yeah, I have. I deliberately threw mine into Sydney Harbour after my first marriage collapsed. But I had a contract once at Bondi Pavilion for New Year's Eve. I had a cleaning company and we had the contract to clean up after New Year's Eve. And I got there at about 4 or 5 in the morning and there was two people left at the party And they were on their hands and knees in this sea of cans and cups.
Oh.
And apparently,
looking for a thrown out tab ticket that's got up.
Yes. Exactly right.
I know.
But apparently, he was dancing with somebody else. She saw him dancing with somebody else, and she pulled off his great grandmother's engagement ring and pegged it at her and missed. And it went into a sea of crap.
No.
They had a $10,000 reward.
Oh, what?
Yeah, we looked hard.
Gee, no, I lost, just swimming, same thing. I think it might have even been on it was my first wedding. It might have been on the honeymoon, so I didn't need it for much longer.
Did you go all pruney from swimming and get skinny fingers?
Yeah. That's what must happen. But we got to ask, where have you lost your wedding ring? Ellie, you've lost one?
Well, yes, I've lost my wedding ring, but it's just in my house somewhere. I don't know where it is. Is anybody going to die of shock at that one? We would love to know, where did you lose your wedding rings? Our very own surfing legend Joel Parkinson managed to lose his wedding ring yesterday. He was surfing at Snapper Rocks, pretty choppy, and, got washed up on the rocks. And he's actually very lucky, but he did lose his wedding ring, and he was very apologetic to his missus, hoping that she'll forgive him. So we want to know, where did you lose your wedding ring?
Yeah, actually, a little bit of an update. We've just texted Parko. He sent back, he's gone to a charity event in Coffs Harbour, and he said, can you ring Mon for me and find out how much trouble I'm in?
His wife, So we're asking, when did you lose your wedding ring? 1-300-925-666.
Good morning, Roger, in Crestwood Heights. Where did you lose your wedding ring?
I'm a tradie. And, I've found a few different things over the years under furniture and stuff. And many years ago when I lived in Sydney, I had to move an old washing machine. And this old lady had lived there for obviously a number of years. And I found a ring under the washing machine. And unbeknownst to me, she had lost that not long after her husband had died 25 years previously.
Wow.
And she broke down pretty much when I gave it to her. And, she was so happy, eh?
That's fantastic.
Is that because she realised she hadn't cleaned under the washing machine for 25 years?
Well, I mean, when you live on your own and she was elderly, they don't get moved very often.
No.
Thanks, Rog. Wow, what a great find.
Good on you, Rog.
Absolutely. Sarah in Highland Park, when did you lose your wedding ring?
Oh, it was a few years ago now, but my ex and I had a big argument and I ripped my ring off and threw it at him out the front of Crown Plaza.
Double or nothing.
Did you ping him? Did you hit him?
I don't know if anyone ever found it, but I know we didn't. So, yeah.
Tonya, good morning.
Where'd you lose your wedding ring?
Okay, so hubby bought the wedding ring, getting married in a couple of months. So he put the wedding ring in one of his work shirts in the cupboard just to hide it. And anyway, a couple of months later, I said, oh, do you need these shirts?
No.
And he says, nah. So I did all the shirts, threw them in the bin, and then that night he goes, please tell me you took the ring out of the pocket of one of my shirts. And I went, no.
Oh, it's gone. So, the garbos had come.
Yeah, the garbos had come and gone really early in the morning. And so we walked into the jewellery shop about 2 days later with our tails between our legs saying, we need another one.
Oh, my
God.
Whose fault is that?
Probably both of ours.
I've got to be his fault. No way that's your fault. You couldn't have known.
No. It was a couple of months later. I just said, oh, look, you don't need these shirts anymore because I obviously gave them new shirts.
Thanks, Tonya. That's
No. That's an expensive throwout.
Absolutely. Laura in Maudsland.
Where'd you lose your wedding ring?
So it wasn't mine. It was my husband's. We lived in Port Hedland at the time and it was literally my due date. He went to wash his hands in the jetty as we were about to leave where we were. His ring came off. But 4 weeks later, he actually went back down with some mates, a metal detector. We'd had a cyclone in this time and pulled it back out.
My God.
Wow. Yes. That is unbelievable.
Yeah, like it literally just lost its colour and that was it.
Oh, wow. Are you still with him?
I am, yes. Okay. Yeah, it's been a good 12 years now.
Thank you.
Thanks, Laura.
Paul in Labrador.
Good morning, crew.
Yeah, hey, where'd you lose your wedding ring?
Well, I lost my mate's wedding ring. I was the best man.
That's
and
right.
You're not going to believe it. On the way to the church. and couldn't find it, mate. Got to the church, went everywhere, and it was gone. The lovely man doing the ceremony lent us one of his rings to actually go forward.
Oh, my God. Paulie, that's unbelievable.
Spider spray.
Fish and chips.
Nope.
You know what? We've lost the tradition of fish and chips on a Friday night. I used to love fish and chips on a Friday night. And even every moment I was growing up, you could not upset me on a Friday. Mm. Didn't matter what the teachers would say. Yep, you've got detention. Yep, okay. You got to do 100 lines. I don't care because I'm getting fish and chips on Friday night. And that was my reasoning behind everything. I go to footy training. Yeah, coach says run 10 laps. Fine. Oh, you know why? Because I'm getting fish and chips on a Friday night. And there's nothing like it. You used to be able to open up the big wrap of chips and potato cakes or scallops, depending on where you live, dim sims, the hamburgers, the spring rolls. You've got the sauce, the vinegar, the soy sauce, the salt.
Soy sauce?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, I should say soy
and
sauce.
And then you put, you know, the bread with the butter.
Oh, my God.
And you have the chip sandwich.
Chip sandwich.
And the old man would always get a couple of pickled onions. I wasn't a fan of them myself, but he'd get the pickled onions, which were always on the counter. And he'd get those and he'd eat those on the way home. But there's nothing like it. Remember just lining up at the fish and chip shop on a Friday night. They'd give you the raffle ticket number. You'd have to wait for it to be called out.
Yes.
And you'd go, number 34. And you're like, Dad, we're three away. We're 37. And you'd see the hamburgers go on top of the griller. And this is what Friday nights was about. We don't do any of that. No plates, nothing fancy. The only plate you had was a ripped off piece of paper that you wanted to say, okay, I'm going to have a handful of chips here and not put any vinegar on it because no one else likes vinegar. We've lost one of Australia's great traditions.
I'm with you.
And bring back
the
compulsory Friday night fish and chips, I say.
On Listener, this is the Flan, Ellie and Spider podcast.
So I'm down here in Newcastle for a girlfriend's 50th weekend. Happy birthday, Holly. But yesterday, Arva, it's so beautiful where I'm staying here. It's called Merriweather and it's on the water. You watch all the boats go past.
It's a lovely
spot. Late afternoon, and I sent you guys a picture. I was just sitting. I thought, you know what? I'm going to have a glass of wine and had a few oysters.
So you're in Newcastle.
I'm in Newcastle. And, you know, I'd had a hectic day because, as you know, my ex-husband and I finally sold our home. I was moving stuff out before I raced to the airport. And I just said, you know what? I just need a moment to myself. But it was quite unusual because you don't often go and sit at a table at a restaurant on your own.
No.
And I was conscious. So I was sitting out looking at the water and I thought...
Having oysters.
There was an older man sitting at a table on his own. Next to me. He was probably about in his 70s. And I just thought, you know, he's just on his own. I'm here on my own, you know. And I just thought, I was conscious of not picking up my phone all the time. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because we're just so distracted. I feel like we've lost the art in a way of just sitting and being on our own. You know what I mean? Like if you're not there sitting with other people. And I know there are some people that will go to the movies on their own, but I don't know. You're not really sitting there just totally solo. You know, and people would walk past and I felt like they must have been looking in at me going, oh, look at that poor woman on her own.
Did it make you feel a bit anxious, Sally?
I would say in the tiniest way, Flan, yes.
Yeah, like, I get like that when I'm on my own somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not normally an anxious person, but it did take me a few minutes to adjust to sitting there on my own and not doing anything other than looking.
Yeah, looking. Well, see, if you went there years ago, I went to Newcastle a couple of times because Newcastle's what? It's only famous for a couple of things. The Pashabulka,
coal,
which got stocked.
Yeah, that was a big crew. The ship. Yeah.
Renee Lawrence, Bali Nines.
That's right.
Yeah, both cargo carriers of a different type, but they both. Yep. That's what Newcastle's famous for.
I cannot believe you just said that. I actually can't believe you just said that because my Uber driver actually told me he picked up Renee Lawrence.
No way. She's out of prison now, obviously. Yep.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She
How'd
was
he pay?
With two friends.
How'd she pay?
No, he didn't. He was tempted to ask her a question, but he didn't. But anyway, side note. But
yes.
I just, so at the end of my meal of the oysters, just before I was leaving, this other couple came in and saw the older man sitting next to me. They were friends of his. And they were like, oh, hey, how you going, you know? And they came in and they kind of remarked to the fact, oh, they said, oh, there's a single guy at that table and there's a, you know, single girl sitting there. And she said to, and I'm not joking, that would have been early 70s.
First base.
She said to me, she said, no.
Your teeth are just like mine. Well,
oh, you better watch out. You know, single solo man sitting there.
Hey.
And I said to her, Dale, I'm the one that, you know, he better watch out for. Right. And then obviously mucking around. And then she actually walked off, right, with her husband.
Yeah.
And then she must have panicked, came back, and she said, oh, I'm just saying, you know, I know his wife.
Oh.
So she must have thought I was actually going to try and crack on him. No, very tame night.